Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side.
Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
It's time for the Del Olalea Show.
On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Now broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
When the world was a sign of this and that, I was young, didn't know to hold it back. Now we hear in the world something else. We can leave any day and call for help. We were gods, nobody was above me. The A on my chest like a Dolce. The A on my chest, put your fist up. The A on my chest like a chipmunk. Alvin, Theodore, breathe in, breathe out. Me and more, breathe in, breathe out. Never mind, it was time. Number nine, let me oblige. Feline, with a death wish. Be right, didn't have no name on the guest list. Hold on, we're destined.
One goal in mind for the Texans, beyond one. That was the obvious. Score a second half touchdown. I didn't preface it by saying it should be offensively, but they did get two, one defensively and one offensively, and they handled the Cowboys the way they should have. As far as the final score, we can get into the minute details of what happened, some of the intricacies of how the game broke down, but the final score is one where they covered a dominant performance. They can walk away, at least amongst that locker room, saying we're back on track. If you are more of a pessimistic person, you might say the Cowboys suck. You should have done that. And I'm trying to fight my inclination to go, well, that Cowboy team is awful. They're likely going to fire that coach. And he would be what? If you think about the Texans schedule so far, the teams they've played have either fired their coach or will fire the coach. I think we're up to four. I think Eberflus is gone. Robert Saleh is already gone. Peterson's likely gone. And Mike McCarthy, unless Jerry Jones' loyalty gets in the way again, is likely gone too. So at this point, they have played four teams likely to or have already fired their coach. But as far as last night was concerned, they did what they had to do. There was a drive in that game that eventually led to a field goal that put them up 20-10 that kind of illustrates, if we're looking at what is going on with C.J. Stroud, it illustrates the difference between last year and this year. On a drive that wound up with points, he hits Tank, but Tank has to go to the ground to catch it. A couple plays later, he throws one in stride to Nico Collins that goes for a big play. The Tank play, considering Tank's ability, could have been a big play too, but Tank had to stop, hit the ground, and catch it. And then on the 3rd and 8 from the 10, he throws a ball that Joe Mixon can't reach. It's out of his reach, and he throws that ball short of the sticks, but considering Joe Mixon's physicality and what he did throughout that game, who's to say he doesn't run through a Cowboy for a first down, if not a touchdown? So that's the give and take with C.J. Stroud right now. He is still a good quarterback. He is just not the upper-level top five guy we thought he would be, considering what we saw last year. And that could be because of several factors. He is not the same guy because the offensive line hasn't protected him throughout, although they did pretty well yesterday. The Cowboys are devoid of pass rushers. Micah Parsons can't do it alone, and they effectively controlled him, and they were able to run the ball against that defensive front. And I will credit the offensive line. We'll hear from C.J. Stroud a little bit later. Credit them for playing better. They played better, and there may have been some concern about whether they could run block, considering the switch last week against the Lions. They cannot run block, despite being better against the pass rush, although they did give up 4 sacks, and they did have a high pressure rate in the first half. It just felt like they were better. But they combined their ability to keep C.J. Stroud more clean than they've had in the past with opening up holes for Joe Mixon, and he was big time. What, 3 touchdowns for Joe Mixon? Best player on the field, maybe outside of Derek Stingley. And as a big college football fan, if I was being real as a college football fan watching my team play, I'd be like, oh, look what Ohio State did. If I was an Ohio State fan, look what Ohio State did to Northwestern yesterday. That's what it felt like. And it's the NFL, so everything's, any given Sunday, right, or any given Monday in this case. But the Cowboys are dead team, dead in the water. And it was still 17-10 at the half. And if not for Mike McCarthy's decision-making, it could have been at least 20-13 deep into the third quarter. But I'm going to put this in a category of a win is a win. You'll take it, and you move on. It's the first step in trying to get to 9-4 before your schedule gets real. You got the Titans coming up next. And then we go from there if you can get to 9-4. But I got to credit the Texans defense, the physicality that popped up, particularly in that second half. They didn't bother Cooper Rush that much. The one mistake he made, a big one, was the Stingley pick, and that came because, was it Jamie Ward who hit CeeDee Lamb, and CeeDee Lamb stopped on the route? So it left the spot where CeeDee Lamb should have been in that spot. Cooper Rush expected him to be there, but instead, CeeDee Lamb wasn't. Derek Stingley had an easy pick and could have had a couple more. I will say this, the Texans got their hands on a lot of footballs yesterday. They did not come down with them. But the physicality, particularly from Jalen Petrie, the great play that Derek Barnett made, forced the sack, picked up by the lineman who got beat for the sack. Petrie hits him so hard he fumbles, and then Derek Barnett returns it for a touchdown to make it 27-10. And Mike McCarthy after the game said, yeah, we don't really teach our lineman to carry the football, so he's just got to fall on it. Maybe plan for these things. If you know your lineman thinks he's an athlete, maybe teach him how to carry the football.
Titus Howard's like, wouldn't be me. Wouldn't be me.
Well, to be fair, Titus Howard never secured the football until it was lying on the ground.
He was like, I would have.
Well, the difference is Titus stripped the ball from his quarterback, then realized, oh, that's stupid. Let me jump on it and don't try to carry it. This guy got beat for a sack, and then he decided, I'm going to pick it up and try to run. So if we're judging things, although Titus Howard was actively involved in stripping his quarterback, and I guess in some way so was this tackle.
Indirectly,
because he got beat. He didn't actually swat the ball out of Cooper Rush's hand.
That is the difference.
Yes, that is a major difference. He got beat and was so bad, it allowed for Derek Barnett to strip sack Cooper Rush. Titus Howard, by the way, got beat on that play too, but CJ Stroud still had the football. Titus Howard just wanted to compound everything, but he did jump on the football, and the Texans retained possession last week. This guy was like, you know what? I'm out here trying to make a play.
Yeah.
He was about to hit the L1 button until Jalen Petrie hit him, and then it was all over. And that effectively put the game away. I don't think anyone really thought the Cowboys were going to win that game, but that moment was like, oh, okay, this game's over.
That's when I was like, okay, this game is like a farce now.
Yeah, this is not serious anymore happening.
When you get Jalen Petrie hit sticking a left tackle, all right. For a touchdown.
And it gets returned for a touchdown. Yeah,
we're done here.
This game is over. We're just hoping to get out of there healthy. We had the return of Nico Collins, and if not for a Laremy Tunsil penalty on the first play of the game, he would have scored a touchdown. That was kind of a clue of how easy this was going to be. And then it turned into it not being so easy. But I think they did score on that drive anyway.
Yes, it went from a 70-something yard touchdown on the first play.
Yeah.
They moved the ball a little bit, and then it was like a 45-yard touchdown run by Joe Mixon, and that's when you're like, oh, this Cowboys defense did not show up to play.
Yeah, the Texans are going to have to screw up to lose this game, and in fact, maybe even screw up to make it close. And for a half or so, they were trying.
Yeah, the Stroud threw the interception
on fourth down. Do we? I don't have a problem with them going for it.
I think because you're playing the Cowboys, I would taking the points
and make it a two-score game.
Just
I get it.
Because going up 10-0 on the Cowboys, again, I feel like, all right, game's over.
Yeah, I guess
we're up two scores on the Cowboys.
I guess it speaks to some coaches just going by what the numbers tell you or a feel for the game. And I think D'Amico would say he's probably more of a gut guy than anything else, I would assume. Maybe I'm wrong on that. And I think he just thought, hey, we've been cutting through these guys.
Yeah,
we can score here.
That's fair.
Yeah.
I also would just be like, 10-0, Cooper Rush, your
game's,
ball.
Game over at that point. No, I agree. I agree with that line of thinking, but I think, we're trying to get going. We think we can get a first down here. That's how we're operating. We believe in our offense. And Nico was open. Just a missed throw. one of several that CJ Stroud made. That would be the only thing I'm taking away from it, really a negative, outside of some of the traditional, hey, let's crush Bobby Slowick type stuff. CJ Stroud, let's just say another average football game for him. The numbers are going to tell you he was fine beyond the one pick, which was a bad throw, an awful throw. But it's just some of the inaccuracies. The Tank Dell throw on third and one or inches when they should have ran the football, that's a combo of, hey, Slowick, just run the ball. But also, Tank Dell's open. That's NFL open. And if you throw that where you're supposed to, that's a chunk play for a first down. It's a throw we've expected to make. And I'll ask this of you, Sean. Should we stop expecting CJ to be great this year? Maybe a reset happens next year and he's back to being what we saw as a rookie. But we do have this expectation that any day now he's going to be the guy that we saw last year. Now we are 11 games deep into the year. Nico's back, Tank's back. Should we take that off the table? Expectations can change depending on what's going on in a season. He's good, but should we stop expecting great this year?
I think expecting every throw to be perfectly accurate, yeah, or to expect, because that was really what Stroud was awesome at last year, was just that even his misses were close misses, and now like he'll just have some where he just misses them. He's way off on that.
In the ground, way off, yeah.
Way high. Like,
yeah, it happens now.
Yeah, he just does that. Or even if they do catch it, he put it in a spot to where they either had to go down to catch it or to stop their momentum to catch it. So I think knocking off just a little bit of the, you know, he can go shot for shot with Lamar Jackson or Pat Mahomes when they play next month. I think you can take that off the table. Like, you're going to need more. That might be we're going to need Mixon to really
and the defense
really
to play
show
well.
Up. Yeah.
Yeah.
As opposed to, you know, we walk in a stadium facing the two-time MVP and the two-time reigning champion, and you think, our quarterback's just as good as these guys. No, he's not.
Not this year.
I know Lamar lost yesterday, so. In the NFL, we have to say he's not good.
Well, that's the Steelers. I don't know what the deal is with him and the Steelers, but that's just what it is.
Just like every player like can be like Lamar, literally be playing like MVP, and then if they lose, we have to the next week be like, I don't know.
Every week is a referendum on a player. Let's ignore his past. Hell, his recent past of this season. But what happened
Thursday
on Sunday is a referendum about what Lamar Jackson is as a player. And that's why I said now 11 games in, not because of strictly what happened last night with CJ Stroud, but over the course of 11 games, this is the guy we've seen for the most part. And I guess at this point, you have a good quarterback. There are levels to this, and we know the difference because we saw Cooper Rush, and that's at the bottom level. You're going to see Will Levis, another one, and if Trevor Lawrence is back, then that may be slightly above the last two guys I mentioned, but not by much, not the Trevor Lawrence we've seen this year. So the next 3 weeks, he is going to be the superior quarterback by a good while, mm-hmm, a good margin. Coming up after that, you've got Tua, who's played well since his return. You've got Lamar, as you mentioned. You've got Patrick Mahomes. Then we start to see when the levels, when he as a quarterback, not that he plays these guys specifically, but we'll see the other quarterbacks on the other side.
Yeah.
We'll see a different level of quarterback, and then we can start to go, okay, where does he rank if we're doing this game as opposed to just watching the team see if they can win? Penny, I see you. If you want to come in and talk Texans, you can. Anyone else, 713-780-3776 if you want to get back in. But I think I'm done with expecting him to be great just because it happened last year. I think he's just going to be good to very good, but there are going to be times we're going to be shaking our head going, wait, what the hell? And I think it's better for everyone to stop comparing this quarterback to what we saw last year. It's a different year, and he's not that guy right now. And if he turns into that guy because he starts to get more confident in his offensive line and all of a sudden we're 3 weeks from now and he's playing like one of the best quarterbacks in football, great, nice surprise. But at this point, I'll believe it when it happens on a consistent basis. Okay, we'll get more into the Texans. I got away from how physical their defense was. They punished the Cowboys in that second half, and it started with Jalen Petrie. He got called for a dubious personal foul penalty. The only way I could see that being a real thing if they say, oh, you left your feet to make a play. You launched. But as far as where he hit the guy, he hit him in a legal way, and the the on-site, or at least the guy back in New York, or wherever the hell he was, the referee, the expert, said the same. So they get the win, 34-10. We move on. And we'll certainly talk more Texans. We'll hear from C.J. Stroud. We'll hear from DeMeco Ryans. And we'll talk some Rockets, too. Had a close one last night. A game they would say they tricked off the end of their five-game winning streak. But, hey, competitive, questionable refereeing, considering Giannis's big-ass foot looked like he stepped out of bounds on the final sequence leading into the Dame layup. But a lot to get to. We're just getting started here. But first, I want to talk about Monument Chevrolet. Monument Chevrolet is the place to go to if you need a great new Chevrolet, or maybe you want something pre-owned. They have a wide selection of vehicles. You can check them out at monumentchevrolet.com. And they're going to treat you like family. You go out there, they're going to want to become on a first-name basis with you. Whether you meet Jonathan Guajardo, that's his first and last name, he is the salesperson of the week. Whether you meet him or someone else on the sales staff, they're going to talk to you, they're going to work with you, and there are no hidden fees, no upcharges. So if you see something on the website and you want to go out there to Pasadena off of Beltway 8 and 225, the price is going to be the same. The price on the website is the price you see when you start to look at the cars, and that's great. You don't want to be surprised. They're fast and reliable in their service department, so if you have an issue, they'll take care of it that way as well. As I mentioned, the pre-owned vehicles are high quality. They have a large fleet, so if you are a business owner and you're looking to add something to your fleet, they'll take care of you that way as well. And remember, they have this great monthly offer at Monument Chevrolet. 1.9% financing on a new 2024 Chevy Silverado 1500 Crew Cab Rally Sport Truck with a 5.3-liter engine. Or you can choose an all-new electric vehicle with 0% financing for 60 months for well-qualified buyers. Head on out there to Monument Chevrolet. Check them out on the website, monumentchevrolet.com. But when you get out there, remember, it's 3940 Pasadena Freeway off of Beltway 8 and 225. Chevy, together let's drive.
Kane is in the building.
This is the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
As you might imagine, sometimes when Sean and I talk during a break, more important things than actual sports come up. There's a question about John Stamos that we have to get to a little bit later, because he did something I'm just going to leave under the category of foul. He did something foul in under the guise of supporting a friend that we're going to talk to. The internet's not thrilled with John Stamos, so we'll get to that a little bit later. But let's talk more Texans. Lazy J wants to, the Cowboy fan, wants to talk about the Texans. We'll see how this goes. What's up, Lazy J?
Hey, what's going on, brother?
What's up?
Yeah, I wanted to call in, man. When is the parade?
I knew this was going to happen.
When's the parade? I was just asking, you know. Back like y'all been there before, you know what I'm saying? And then also, your quarterback, man, he looked it horrible. But y'all gave him another pass like y'all do every week.
No, we mentioned how bad it was.
Did you listen to this show?
Yeah. What show are you listening to?
I'm talking about the last show.
Yeah, well, y'all is them. I know you called in earlier trying to get in. I spent like 5 minutes talking about how he's not that guy anymore. Well, they don't like you, so.
Yeah, I was just wondering, you know, he always sends out Jesus Christ, you know, but when he loses, so I guess, you know, this week y'all win. It's all about Jesus again. So with that, and then Joe Mixon only got another white girl knockout.
Oh, boy.
Then you got Tank Dell. He got shot in the leg because he didn't pay a stripper for his rap dance. So, you know.
That's what happened.
And then you got Cooper Rush in the game. White privilege. So
what?
It's all good. But when's the parade, man? Let me know. Love the show.
I don't know why he's calling this show with this.
Yeah, this station.
Yeah, what battles are you having online? This is him living online and then coming after us about it. Nothing about – you want to judge what happened on the morning show. That's fine. But this show isn't having a parade.
I guarantee you Glon George will not be having a parade.
Yeah, I don't
– I can guarantee you Killer Bees are also not going to be having a parade.
I think what Lazy J is doing is bringing whatever he sees online to the show and pretending like that's going on. Here, look, understand, Texan fans are thrilled about beating up on the Cowboys. There's, I don't know if I want to call it an inferiority complex with this, but they can still consider beating the Cowboys a thing. I don't. The Cowboys are terrible. Other than what they did in the 90s and before, who cares about them? Beating them doesn't mean anything. The Saints went in there and beat their ass. Who cares?
In my lifetime, and I'm a 28-year-old man, the Texans are more successful than the Cowboys. They're just a more successful
The graphics
team.
Always pop up. Number of playoff wins since the Texans have been alive, and the Texans have more. So I think what you're doing is reacting to fans online who are thrilled that they beat up on the Cowboys, because I guess they have Cowboy fans in their life who are like you and talk like that, so they'll take the win. But us, we don't feel that way. I thought they would beat the Cowboys and do it pretty easily, and the only goal I set for them was to score a touchdown offensively in the second half, and they did that. But that's not a high bar.
That's what we're talking about.
The parade.
This team kind of stinks. It's like a good, bad team.
Yeah. The Texans right
or
now.
Or bad, good team.
The Texans right now are playing like a bad, good team. And they won't really prove anything over the next couple weeks because they're playing just bad, bad teams. And then eventually they'll get to, I don't know what the records will be for the teams they're facing, but the way it's going, the Dolphins have played well even in the two losses before this two-game streak. They took the Bills and the Cardinals to game-winning field goal attempts. So they played well. They got the Patriots, so on and so forth. But that'll be your next chance to go, okay, this is a real team with some aspirations. Let's see how we handle them at home. And then Ravens, Chiefs, all that stuff. So don't come in here with that.
Yeah. Worry about your trash-ass stadium falling apart. Your senile owner.
Yeah. When the Texans social media team can use the falling debris and shape it into an L.
When, by the way, the Houston Texans can do that.
Yeah, by the way, who have had an issue with their stadium earlier this year. But at least it didn't happen on a game day. And at least it was like due to a weather situation as opposed to your place just falling apart like your franchise. And I don't even want to get into Cowboy trash talk. Everyone knows they stink. There's no point.
Lazy J, we were not going to trash talk.
I wasn't going to kill the Cowboys because it's obvious they're bad. There's nothing to take from what the Texans did other than they didn't find a way to screw it up. That's all. But you wanted to make it about how everyone's celebrating. Talk to the Texan fan in your life. That's the person you need to talk to. Us, you should call in about soccer. You would have been better off doing that. We could talk about Jamaica versus U.S. if you want to, but not Real Madrid. Eric, you want to talk Texans. What's up, Eric?
Hey, what's up, Dale?
What's up, man?
Long-time caller, first-time listener.
Your name's not Eric.
Hey, shout out to the intern. You know, that's the second time she did this.
So that's 2 weeks in a 2 days in a row. You said Eric. I mean, Larasa or Irv, and she's go with Eric.
Hey, shout out to Elena, man. She's good. She's good people, man. Don't throw shade at. But you know what? Though?
Irv, before you continue, you fooled two different interns. It wasn't Elena yesterday.
Okay, then that's two different interns. My bad. But look, I'm gonna throw shade at the Texan fans, man. How is it that y'all fill up Dallas at Cowboy Stadium, but y'all can't fill up your own stadium when we play here? What's the deal with that?
It was an event to go to Dallas. I'm sure a lot of people, not that it's a long drive from Houston, but I'm sure a lot of people planned for this game Monday night in Dallas. I'm sure this was an event for people. But to your point, there are a lot more Texans fans in the city of Houston that could have just go to the games. I think the difference is they sell their tickets to opposing fans while the Cowboy fans sold them.
Ain't nobody want a dirty, busy, dirty trash ass city.
Oh, see, Eric, I'm going to call you that because Elena has chimed in and go, you told her your name was Eric. So why are you just calling here to mess with Eric?
Man.
You told her your name was Eric.
I was going to call about this. Like, you know, Lady Jay was talking about the Cowboys, but you guys are absolutely right. This game, if the Texans would have lost, I think the season would just be over. I mean, they had to not mess this up. We weren't even expecting them, like, okay, if they're going to blow them out like that, that's fine. But for them to win, they needed this to win. But they needed it not to mess up. That's how we were thinking the whole time. I even told Lady J, I said, if the Cowboys win by a miracle, would it surprise you? Because look how they play against the Jets. I mean, the Jets are a trash-ass team. And then you have the Detroit Lions with your foot on their throat. And you let that slide too. I mean, it's like comparing the NFC. What is it? The NFC? Is it the West with the Cardinals on top?
Yes.
Do you believe? Who's worse, them or our division? Because I feel like both of them are like a fluke. San Francisco's 5-5. Like our teams are coming back up. Indy's coming back up. I mean, who do you think is worse in that division?
I think the NFC West is better because none of the teams are under 500. we've got the Jags and the Titans in this division. They're terrible. I think the NFC West is better. They may not be a great team, but I think it's a stronger division. Yeah, this game was about don't lose to the Cowboys. Don't drop the 6-5. What they are at potentially 9-4 is up for debate, but they could not have lost tonight or last night. If they lost last night, you might want to just – they probably would still make the playoffs, but who knows. Cowboy fan calling in, Lazy J. The problem for you, Cowboy fans, is this was the approach for Texans fans, at least for the ones who I think are a little bit more reasonable. Just win. I mean, beating the Cowboys doesn't mean anything, but if a Cowboy fan gets in our face, we'll talk trash, because why not?
Yeah.
That's all.
And I'm glad CJ, you know, prayed for Daddy to fill him with all that.
Stop
it. But he still sucked anyway, so that don't mean it matter.
Stop it. Stop saying Daddy when it comes to God. That's not in any Bible. No translation. The King James, the NIV, none of it says Daddy when they talk about God.
Hey, by the way, Sean Mavis, have you met my homeboy Luke from Pittsburgh State?
No, don't get involved, Sean.
Who?
My homeboy Luke, he's a tight end for Pittsburgh State Gorillas.
Oh, really?
Oh, that's interesting.
What's his name? Can I look him up?
Yeah.
It's Luke Naysayerman.
That is his name. Thank you. That's enough out of you, Irv, or Eric. He's calling it. I don't know. What's his deal? He's calling in to pretend like he's like the interns don't remember his name, and they'll tell, and they say, no, he told me his name was Eric. Cut it out, Irv. Enough. He's having bits with the interns.
I know. And different
then,
ones every
and
day.
And then bringing it on to the show and say, hey, your interns don't know what the deal is. You can call in as Irving. I'll get you on quick. Just because I get Eric Wong on in a reasonable time doesn't mean if you call in as yourself, you won't get on. This ain't the morning show. You don't have to wait 30 minutes to get on this show. If you wait 30 minutes to get on this show, the show might be over.
Yeah.
We don't have to type the time to make people wait. So appreciate you, Irv. Thank you. And thanks to Lazy J. Those two calls back-to-back were a thing. They didn't screw it up. That's the positive. That's what I take from it. And then also the defense and their physicality in the second half. That was the one thing I go, okay, I like that. From Petrie to Settle. One thing I will have to take back, I questioned that defensive front, particularly in the middle. I said they just signed a bunch of guys, and maybe that's just the Cowboys – interior making them look great because they've had injuries there. Zach Martin did get beat and then got hurt, and that even made Cooper Rush's day worse because Martin's probably the only plus offensive lineman on that team right now, and then he got hurt.
Yeah,
so
he got embarrassed.
He got him,
you know, and then Troy Aikman was like, "Well, he's dealing with a lot of injuries," and then he went down with injury.
So you think it's he got like a cornerback who gets burned and pulls his my hamstring.
Yeah,
okay, maybe.
And then he had Troy Aikman mouthpiece for the Cowboys.
The glazing coming from Troy.
Yeah, it's got to be rough. It's
got to be rough for Troy, right? Because he calls more Cowboy games than they. Well, they've been good last year and the year before, but he has to call plenty of Cowboy games, and then everyone's coming up to him. Hey, Troy, what's wrong with the Cowboys? And he's got. Well, I've been answering these questions for like 25 years. At some point, Troy Aikman's going to be like, "Enough! Stop it! You know what's wrong with him? Stop asking me the questions. Stop asking me those questions. I don't have an answer."
I'm watching the games.
Yeah,
like
I'm watching the same games you are. You figure it out. But he's their unofficial spokesperson because got to ask Troy about the Cowboys, right?
Got to.
Who's another prominent Cowboy in the media?
Michael Irvin.
But he's not calling games.
Yeah,
he's standing on sidelines at Miami games. Now that they lost,
standing.
Well, depending on the moment.
Sometimes he's on all fours.
Depending on the moment. Let's see. Now that they've lost, will he change that shirt? And will he go to the game? On Saturday, we'll see. They're still in the race, so we'll see what happens there. But just think, if the Texans had the type of acclaim that J.J. Watt's, I guess, the official spokesperson for the Texans now. He's everywhere. Well, McAfee and on CBS. So I guess he's our guy.
Ain't on commercials. God.
Yeah, but he can't talk about the Texans in the commercials. But as far as, hey, we want a thought on the Texans, J.J.'s that guy for this city right now. I don't know. He's never. I don't think I've heard him say anything negative about the Texans yet. He hadn't had to the last couple of years.
Yeah, it was good timing that when he played in Arizona, that's kind of when
the bad years were, yeah. the awful, embarrassing yeah, years.
And then he retired and the Texans were good.
And he can speak on his team confidently, and it gives him more opportunity to show up on McAfee, because why would McAfee have him on if the Texans stunk? What's the point?
I mean, probably just talk about general NFL.
Have we heard JJ talk general NFL?
Yeah, on CBS.
I'm trying to think, would that be a draw other than, hey, the guy's going to have some insight on the Texans. He's a former Texan legend. Let's have him on.
I don't think the Texans are moving the needle enough for...
Well, they talk about him enough. CJ Stroud's pretty popular, I would say. Nationally, he's pretty popular. People like talking about CJ Stroud, and they were a star-studded team. Still are, although guys have been dropping.
I just don't know if McAfee needs JJ Watt to talk about the Texans for an hour.
I don't think he needs to, but I think he likes to, at least, because they are a contender, at least... They
well,
were perceived
and it's
to be a contender.
AFC South, where half the time they're talking about the Colts and then the Texans come up, or they're talking about the Texans and the Colts come up.
Yeah, you're giving me knowledge because I only see JJ pop up. I don't hear any of the content. I just assume it's Texans talk. And of course, it makes sense to talk Colts.
Well, a lot of times it's like like when I'm grabbing the clip, it's like sandwiched between Anthony Richardson points. And then he talks about CJ Stroud and goes back to Anthony Richardson.
Got it. The man has a bias, certainly. And that man is Pat McAfee. Okay, we will get out of here. We'll keep talking Texans. In fact, we haven't heard from any of the Texans. So we'll hear from CJ Stroud when we come back. He talked about what leads to this team winning and losing. And then he had to backtrack because he didn't mean to blame a certain unit for losing. So we'll hear from CJ Stroud and D'Amico Ryans when we get back.
You're listening to the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
So the Texans' defensive line imposed their will in that second half. Danielle Hunter, dominant. The pressure he put on Cooper Rush, just beating tackles clean. Tim Settle had a play. DeNico Autry. They all had a part to play in that second half of making life miserable for Cooper Rush. He wasn't great in the first half, but they were in it. He wasn't killing the Cowboys, but at some point, the Texans turned it up and got a easy win. A lot of celebrating going on, particularly after they scored their final touchdown. The offense finally got one on the board.
Parades tomorrow.
Yeah, I think we won't be conducting it, but I think Texans fans in general will be going down Kirby, beating drums, talking about how they beat the Cowboys, because apparently that's generally the reaction from a bad football team after they get beat by a team they don't respect. It's like, oh, when's the parade starting? Because I'm sure trash talking happened throughout, and Texan fans took over that building as the game kept getting worse and worse for the Cowboys.
By the way, I think it's way more likely that it's just people from Houston that are Texans fans that now just live in Dallas.
That's possible.
It's their one time a year to go to a game. I think that's way more likely than
people driving up there.
People don't drive to Kirby to watch the game, but they're going to drive to Dallas on a Monday night.
I mean,
they're
going
to take 2 days off of work to do that.
I think Jerry's World has been around a long time, but I do think people still want to go see that place. It's still kind of more of an event place to go to as far as out of town Texans fans going to Dallas. People who don't live in Dallas who might want to check it out and go. So I think it still holds a bit of an appeal that way. And I think playing the Cowboys means something to Houston Texans fans, despite us like being nonplus about the Cowboys and not really caring about them because they're bad. I think for people who are very passionate about their team, they want to play the Cowboys because they've had Cowboy fans in their life their entire lives. And even though the Cowboys have been bad, the Cowboy fans could always go, well, rings, 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 rings. They could do that. And, of course, the Texans can't respond with anything other than, well, those rings happened before most of you were alive. So that's all it is. And so I think it doesn't surprise me that people wanted to show up there. They have a team that, well, at least before the year, was a Super Bowl contender and still thinks they can get there. So going up there and dominating the Cowboys in their building on Monday night, I'm sure people wanted to show out, and they did. But maybe you're right. Was it 60% of the Texan fans or just Dallas people.
Yeah, just people that
happen to live in Dallas now.
From Houston and got a job in Dallas.
It's very possible. I wouldn't say that's a small percentage, but I think people from here went up there.
It's always my thing with, like, this fan base travels well, like Steelers fans travel. I'm like, there's also just Steelers fans everywhere.
Well, the Steelers, well, the difference is the Steelers have been a national team for like 60 years.
Yeah. But I feel like people take the, like, oh, did this team travel this long? Like, sure, some people did. Also, like, especially Houston, like, it's a city full of transplants. Like,
yeah,
I think it's way more likely that people just came here. Or maybe, people that moved here,
and maybe not even
fans of the team that's playing the Texans.
Yeah, and reverse. Last night, maybe not everyone's from Dallas, but in the surrounding cities around this, Dallas decided, hey, let's go up there and watch our team play. Closer to go to Dallas than it would be to get to Houston. So I think there are a lot of factors that played a part in that showing by the Texans fans, and they had every right to be thrilled being at the game. I can't see who that name is. It's grayed out. We'll get to you we'll get to you after we get to the sound. When I get David, I see you. Hold on for a little bit. We're going to try to stay on the clock. I'm going to play some sound here. CJ Stroud after the game talked about what led to the win, and he gave credit and then gave some blame and had to pull back the blame in his post game sound.
Well, them boys, they're the heartbeat of our team. O line and D line are the reason why we win and lose. Excuse me, not why we lose. They're the reason why we win. Take that off the record. They are the reason why we win. But it's up to us to play complimentary football. And, you know, a lot of times they get the blame, but it's not for them to blame. It's myself, you know, sometimes, you know, not getting the ball out on time and just miss IDing or things like that. So, you know, when those guys are humming and, you know, we're playing on time, doing what we're asked to do as a philosophy, you know, then it's hard to be beat.
Yeah, when you dominate up front, you got a real chance to win football games, a lot of them. And the Texans haven't been able to do that with the O-line. I don't think anyone believed he meant that the defensive line is the reason they lose football games. I think we all know, at least we all believe we know what he meant by that. It's slip, but doesn't mean he's wrong. Doesn't mean it isn't something he's been thinking. It just happened to come out.
It also, like, logically, it makes sense that when the trenches play really well, you win.
Our
when
entire
they play
lives,
poorly, you lose.
Our entire
you win
lives,
or lose with the trenches.
Entire football lives, we've been told you win or lose in the trenches. So yes, win or lose, if your O line and D line play well. So he's not wrong. Yeah.
It's just too true when you're talking about
some things
the O-line.
Are too on the nose.
Yeah, it's like can't say that. I'm accidentally telling the truth.
Yeah,
I'm not just using a useless saying.
Football saying, yeah, because it sounds like what's happened throughout the year. When they play poorly, the Texans lose. But hey, they played well enough. The team did, and I think that's kind of where I stand. They played well enough, and the Cowboys are so bad it turned into a blowout. David, we're gonna get to you when we come back. Hang on. You want to talk Texans? Anyone else want to talk about the Texans or anything else? You can get in 713-780-3776. We will be back.
You're listening to the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
David, I said we'd get to you. I said it twice. Couldn't wait. David, if you want to get in and talk Texans, you are more than welcome. Or I think you wanted to talk about Texans fans heading to the game. That is a topic we can get to. Anything else you want to get in on 713-780-3776. But I did want to do this. We got a college football game in town on Saturday. It's the Baylor Bears versus the Cougs. And you know what that day is? It is Senior Day and the Houston Blue game. You get ready for a night of thrilling plays, hard-hitting action, and unforgettable moments. Nothing beats the tradition, pageantry, and the roar of the crowd at a Cougar football game. Tickets, if you want to go, just start at $15. Go to uhcougars.com/tickets or call 713-GO-COUGS. Come early, be loud, and wear blue as they want you to pack the stadium for the final home game of the season. And you'll get a towel. It'll be from Ford, Bud Light, UHAA, and ConocoPhillips. And the team will be wearing the Houston blue uniform. So if you want to go to the game right now, be caller 5, 713-780-3776. You want to see the Cougs against the Bears. And the Cougs in their great uniforms that they had to fight off lawsuits to wear. You can do that It's Saturday, 6 p.m. at TDECU. Caller 5, 713-780-3776. The final home game of the season. Okay, let's get to the Rockets here. Tough one last night. That was a game where they jumped out to a big lead. Looked like the Bucks were playing in quicksand. Dame Lillard came back from his concussion. Giannis didn't really get going until later. And it went back and forth. Then the Bucks had a big lead in the second and third quarters. The Rockets fought back late in the third quarter and eventually took like a five-point lead early in the fourth. Fred VanVleet was okay later in the game. The team overall struggled to shoot, which is kind of who they are. Jalen Green and Fred VanVleet weren't great. Shooting percentages, not good. Put up concert dates again, but this time in September. Back-to-back, September 23rd and 24th. Jalen and Fred are going to make an appearance in Milwaukee. But the end of the game was the big thing. The Rockets had a four-point lead. Dylan Brooks misses a wide-open three. He's shooting pretty well from three, but he did that last year, too, and it fell off. We'll see if he can maintain his pace. I think he's right around 39% right now. He missed that three. Could have gone up seven. The Bucks get a rebound. Find A.J. Green. Yes, there is a basketball player named that. Doesn't look like the receiver at all.
It's a little different.
He knocks down a three. They lose him in transition. He knocks down a three to make it a one-point game. And, you know, back and forth a couple times, and then Giannis blocks Alpi. Giannis gets a pass from Brook Lopez after the block, but Giannis' foot is out of bounds. He gets the ball from Brook Lopez, and his foot's still out of bounds. It's not called, and eventually on the ensuing possession, Dame Lillard makes a layup, gives the Bucks a one-point lead. And, of course, after a foul because the Bucks had one to give, they drop a play. On the sideline amongst the fans, Fred VanVleet needed rooms. They had to clear out fans to give him more room because he needed to make like a soccer throw into Alpi.
Well, part of it's because he's so short
he needed to get over the defender. Torian Prince guarding him. He needed more room because, as you said, he's like 5'11", which is short in basketball terms, and I'm not sure why.
It's normal height.
I said in basketball terms, short. Okay. I said that. Relax, 5'11", man. I don't know why he's the inbounder, considering that could be an issue for him, seeing over a guy who's not even a big, like Torian Prince is what, 6'5", 6'6", something like that?
Yeah.
Whatever it is, he needed more room. He makes an inaccurate throw. I would say maybe a more athletic big might have gotten to it.
Mm.
I know we're blaming Fred VanVleet, and it wasn't on target, but possibly a more fleet of foot big, a non-Alpi big might have made a play on that and caught it and laid it in. But you did have Alpi there. It was a nice out-of-bounds play. They confused the Bucks. Giannis, even after, oh, by the way, Alpi doesn't corral it. He tries to pass it as he's falling out of bounds. They don't even get a shot up, and the Bucks win 101-100. The Bucks were confused on the play. After the play, Giannis got back into it to knock it away from the guy Alpi was trying to pass to. He was talking to his teammates about the cross-switching and how that all got screwed up. But the Bucks win. They come back and beat the Rockets, and the Rockets' five-game winning streak is done. Back-to-back, they go to Milwaukee and drop one. It is more in line with what you expect from them as opposed to what happened against the Bulls, where the Bulls pretty much quit in the second quarter, and that extended into the third. And it comes off the back of the rumor, and it's not even really a trade rumor. I asked AJ about this yesterday, who was filling in for Sean. Is this a thing? And I always like to pose this to people and see if they think this is a thing. Have you seen the reporting from Mark Stein on this?
Yeah, I saw the tweet.
So the initial thing is more about Kevin Durant and their pursuit of Kevin Durant, that the Rockets are still monitoring whether Kevin Durant wants out. Kevin Durant, surprisingly enough, will be out a couple weeks with a lower leg injury. Odd. I'll take it back. It's a upper leg. I think it's a hamstring. But surprisingly,
that's different. Normally, it's lower.
Yeah, surprisingly, he's out with a leg injury for a couple weeks. So the Suns, who started off great, have, as you might imagine, kind of slipped off a little bit without Kevin Durant. I don't think Bradley Beal even played yesterday, which is, I know, another big surprise.
What?
But
happened?
So the Suns, I think, started off 9-2. They may be like 9-5 now, 9-6 after dealing with injuries. So they're monitoring Kevin Durant. That's their dream. I'm not sure why the mid-30s guy who is always hurt is the dream acquisition for the Rockets, But that apparently is what the internet's telling me, what media's telling me. They would love Kevin Durant. I understand why you would love him, but considering what happens to him year over year, maybe target a younger player? And that's what the Giannis thing was about. Kevin Durant's at the top. But if, you know, if Giannis wants to come here, they would love to be interested. They would love to have him.
Oh, yeah?
If he happened to want to come here, they'd love it. And I asked AJ the question, was it a thing? Because the reporting is all about if Giannis happens to want to leave Milwaukee, the Rockets are a team to monitor because they're interested. Like everybody else in basketball. Anyone who thinks they have the assets to acquire Giannis would be interested. So I'm not sure the Rockets' known interest is a story. Thanks. They want one of the best players in the game?
Yeah.
Appreciate the info. So that eventually led to, what are you giving up? Because it has to hurt, right? And the Alpi part of it is the one that bothers people because he is your young centerpiece. He is someone who you've committed a lot of money to. But if we're looking at the Alperich and Goon through the first 15 games of the year, I'd be fine dealing him. The guy we're seeing now, forget about my crack about a more athletic big, but just look at him. He's a 17-11 guy. His shooting percent, it's early. He's like shooting almost 8% worse from the field than he was last year. He's not exactly a dom. Despite what he said, Sean, we have the sound. Despite what he said, what did he say again?
That's what I do. Dominate in the paint.
Not really. The numbers say you don't dominate in the paint. You dominate Alex Sarr, a rookie who plays for the Wizards. But over the course of the first, 15 games of the year, you're not really dominating. You're having, in fact, a down year from last year, the one where you got the acclaim of being Baby Jokic. He's not playing as well. The team, credit to them, because you got the Terror Twins and they play such good defense, haven't needed him to play at an all-star level. But he is not playing as an all-star. He's playing as a young player still finding his way, which is what he is. I just wouldn't be so locked into, I can't be without Alperen Şengün. At least not this version.
Yeah, the deal starts with one of Jalen.
No, not for the Alperen. Bucks. This Jalen thing's got to go.
No, I'm saying like you start with like we're gonna give up one of these two guys, and then we'll move down the core seven list. And
ask this: where does Jalen Green rank as far as
core seven
guys
watch?
Other people want? Not who the Rockets may consider, but I know they've already given him money, so obviously they hold him in some esteem. So where does he rank?
I feel like people who don't watch him really like him a lot.
Well, if you're going by who put it out that they won, they
It was like wasn't NBA.
Was it Slam Mac? Slam?
Yeah,
their
like
Twitter
Slam
account.
Or
Jalen Green has the Rockets as third in the West, and everyone was like, "What are you talking about? Jalen Green has the Rockets as third in the West? Have you seen how that team plays?
Tari Eason has them third in the West.
Yeah, oh man, Thompson has them third in the West. Their overall defense, which Jalen Green's a part of, but yeah, I think there's a perception because Jalen Green started off, well, he had the two games against San Antonio that everyone was like, wow, look at Jalen Green.
Yeah.
And then since that point, he's been the same guy we know.
He's also just like the type of player that more commonly works in the NBA than Alperen Şengün.
And he's also the guy whose highlights are going to be
Number two spread. Pick. Like, we see it all the
and
time.
He had
like, in every sport where if you're picked higher than someone who is, like, just as good at you as you, people will kind of default to the pre-draft thoughts of the player.
Yeah.
Hello, and Trey Lance.
Well, yeah. And, you know, Jalen has a great layup that went viral. Or viral for as, you know, it got put out by multiple NBA accounts yesterday. And was like, Jalen Green, star of the Rockets. It was the one of, 23 shots he took, and he only made, like, 9 of them. I forgot exactly what his stat line is, but he shot under 40%, I think, which has been, unfortunately, the norm this year. So I don't think Jalen Green, as far, I guess, potential-wise, people might, across the league, might still think highly of him. But if I'm a NBA exec who's watched the Rockets over the last 3-plus years with him on the roster, he is not a top three guy for me.
Well, it's also like the Bucks. Like, what are you trying to get here? Well, are you trying to get like good day one players that you trade for and like they're immediately good?
Well, the thing for the Rockets are even the guys who are good now are still like 22, 23 years old. So even if they were against, maybe they were down on Jalen Green and they wanted like the likes of Amen and Tari, it's not like those guys are in their prime. So they could draft them still work with them and say, hey, maybe the Rockets aren't getting as much out of them as we would because there's a Jabari Smith starting ahead of them, a Dylan Brooks starting ahead of them. They are giving minutes to players you would say aren't as good as them. So I don't think it begins and ends with Alpi and Jalen. It may begin with Alpi, but I think you're talking the Terra Twins above Jalen, and then you, maybe people love a Reed or someone else. I don't know. But I don't think any trade's imminent. I just think it's something for talk and fodder. It's
also something where if you're the Rockets, you only have to be better than what other people are offering. You don't actually have to offer your best stuff.
And the other thing is, are the Bucks willing to trade their franchise cornerstone? He would have to He would have to ask out.
They are not.
No. He would have to ask
out. Like, you know, just like every other team in the league, they're not wanting to trade their – I mean, the Trailblazers, like, held on to Dame Lillard for, like, 2 years too long.
Grim death, yeah. They had to be pushed. He had to ask out.
Like, it was it got to a point – same thing with the Wizards and Beal, where, like, no, it was actually – it would have been more beneficial for you to trade him 2 years before you did because you would have gotten way more for him.
Yeah.
And instead you got
– teams hold on. The loyalty, the seismic shift of your direction when you trade a star, there, you know, you have the dreams of this guy retiring in the jersey. And Giannis is the Bucks, I would assume. They think he is their next,
I mean, he's
Dirk Nowitzki type, where he starts with one team and ends with one team, and being the market they're in, losing Giannis would be destroying to that franchise, no matter who you got to return.
He's the best player in their franchise's last 50 years?
And has shown
to go back to, like, Luel Kareem.
Sindor, and he's shown a willingness to want to be there as long as you put the necessary pieces around him. That's why they made the Dame trade. Certainly didn't work out last year. Not currently working out this year, despite the win. You might not want to have hired Doc Rivers.
I don't know. Out-coached Udoka at the end.
Did he or did... Well, I guess if you put a 5'10 guy as your inbounder, maybe Doc did out-coach you. I guess. I can't fight you there. Although, if Giannis is called for stepping out of bounds, maybe we're not having this conversation.
They never called that.
Not against the Rockets. Remember Kevin Durant did it too?
Kevin Durant where he took three steps out of bounds? Like, three steps, like, in the, like, yellow paint?
Yeah. That was clear, and they still didn't call it.
Was egregious.
The Rockets went on to win that one. They did not win the game last night as they go down, and their winning streak is over. Okay, we'll hear from D'Amico Ryans when we come back. Certainly more text and stuff to get to. And, but first, I want to talk about this. They joined the show yesterday, and I want to welcome them back. Obviously, super happy, Incredible Toys is part of the station and part of the show. And they have a special event on December 1st at St. Arnold. It is their annual Christmas toy show and art market. And it's an all-ages event. And it'll combine the amusement of a toy show and the creativity of an art market with the opportunity to purchase many examples of both. So you can go out there. It's free. It's free parking at St. Arnold, but if you want to purchase something, go out there. I have been out at Super Happy Incredible Toys maybe a couple weeks ago now, and they have great vintage toys. They have a vintage Street Fighter II arcade game that I took a look at. It's pretty awesome. They have events there all the time, but this one, they're kind of the proud presenter of what's happening at St. Arnold. They're going to encourage people to take advantage of the venue and visit the St. Arnold beautiful beer garden. You can sample that food that St. Arnold provides. I know we hear beer, we think of St. Arnold's, but they also have great food. So mark your calendars. It is December 1st. That is a Sunday. It's called the Super Happy Toy Show Art Market, and treat it as a Christmas party too. It's going to be a lot of things to do for you and the kids. It's a great event. Whether you want to purchase something or just check it out, it'll, once again, December 1st at St. Arnold Brewery. And you're going to get to take pictures with Santa. So if you want to go out there, get your picture with Santa for the year, you can do that as well. It's from 12 to 4, December 1st on Sunday. And taking pictures with Santa are courtesy of Comic Palooza. So the Super Happy Incredible Toys and their Christmas Toy Show and Art Market, December 1st at St. Arnold Brewery. Go out there and check it out.
ESPN 97.5.
Bubba Wallace here from 2311 Racing. You know what's slower than a pace car? Waiting at the car wash. That's when I fire up Chumba Casino. It turns those slow minutes into fast fun. With new games every week, you'll never get bored. Next time you're stuck in the slow lane, speed up with Chumba. Play now at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.